For our scripture reading today, if you want to follow along with me, I'm going to be in the book of Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 36 through 41. Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 41, and this particular incident in this chapter is the day of Pentecost, the day that the Holy Spirit came down upon the 120 that were in the upper room that day. And starting at verse 36, if you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. And starting at verse 36 through 41, God's word says this. And this is Peter speaking to the crowd. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Well, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, this is wonderful news, that 3,000 people on that day repented, they were baptized, they confessed their sins, and they became new creations in Christ. Father, I pray that if there's anybody in this sanctuary or anybody in this world today, that they hear the gospel message, that today will be their day of salvation. Today will be that their day that they confess, that they repent. And Father, today will be the day that they become new creations in Christ. We trust you that you are still calling people to become part of your family. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Normally on Sunday mornings, I am preaching through a sermon series of some sort. Presently, I'm preaching through a sermon series on the Ten Commandments. But today, we're going to take a break from that because today is a special day in the life of our church. Not only did we have four people join the church today, which is very exciting, but today also, a young lady, Elena White, right there, is making a profession of faith through the ordinance of baptism, which we will all witness a little bit later on over in the fellowship hall. But for now, I want to speak to the rest of us here today. Most of you I know, some of you are fairly new to the church. So I'm going to ask a couple questions, and let's kind of answer these things. Are we truly in the faith? We may be professing Christians, but are we possessing Christians? Oh, sure, we profess Christ as our Lord and Savior, but do we really possess Christ as our Lord and Savior? Let me put it to you another way. Do you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the day that you pass away from this earth and go into eternity, that you're going to be spending that eternity with Jesus Christ in heaven? It's a question we all need to ask. Do we profess Christ or do we possess Christ? In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, the Apostle Paul says that to answer this question, we need to examine ourselves. We need to take a test, test ourselves to make sure whether we are in the faith or not in the faith. I think that's great advice. So today, we're going to take a test. Why not? I'm going to ask 10 questions, 10 questions, and you answer them to yourself, and I will answer these questions to myself. So we're going to take kind of a test to see whether we're in the faith or not. And here we go. Question number one. And again, just answer them to yourself. Do we show remorse when we do not obey God's commandments? Number two, do we refuse to love certain people because they are not like us? Do we regret leaving the world behind, that old creature that we used to be? Number four, are we really repulsed by our own sin? Question number five, who really does come first in your life? Question number six, have you died to self? In other words, it's not about me anymore. It's about God. Number seven, are you joyful for the gift that you have been freely given? Number eight, has your life truly been transformed? Number nine, how do you respond when you are persecuted on account of the word of God? And the last question, how do you respond when God asks something of you? And I know that these are probably adult-oriented questions, and I wouldn't expect a young lady like Elena to even understand these questions or even understand some of the answers. I realize that. I know that. But for us adults in here, which represents the majority, how did you do on your self-examination? Getting an answer or two wrong to this test is not going to kick you out of the kingdom. But it does give each and every one of us a benchmark on how we should be acting and living our lives as professing and possessing Christians. So if a person has truly become a believer, if you say, yes, Micah, I'm a believer, what should be one of the very first things that they should do when they become a believer? Well, I think the first thing that the person should do when they become a believer is I think they need to tell everybody. They need to tell everybody. They need to tell family. They need to tell friends. They need to tell their coworkers what they have become. Hey, I am a Christian. And I assure you, that is the right thing to do. But it's not going to be the popular thing to do. Because there's going to be people out there who are not going to like the fact that you're one of them. That you're one of those Christians. You're one of those people who go to church and love God and love Jesus and believe this book. And your response is going to be, yes, I am. Not the popular response, but it's always the right response. Every Christian should be proud of their faith, and they should be proud of the Savior who paid the price for their salvation. But another thing that every believer should do when he or she becomes a Christian, becomes a new creation in Christ, is they should be baptized. Baptism is an outward sign of an inward faith or an inward conviction or an inward transformation. To be baptized means this, that I am placing a stake in the ground and I'm proclaiming to the world exactly who it is that has a claim on me. And I am telling the world that I am now in the family of Jesus Christ. And that's a good thing to do. Now let me share two common misconceptions about baptism. Misconception number one. These are listed in your bulletin, but I'm going to go through them again. A lot of people think that being baptized guarantees that I'm going to go to heaven when I die. That is not correct. That is bad theology. Some religions and some faiths will preach that if you are baptized, you are now secure and you will be going to heaven. In other words, what they're saying is now you can go live your life any way you want. Again, Sorry, it's not biblically true. There are people who are under this illusion. And trust me, hell has many residents who have been baptized. Trust me. These people have gone through the ordinance of baptism, but they were never truly regenerated, and they have never truly been born again by the power of the Holy Spirit. These people were not truly affirming their faith. The only thing they did was got wet, and that was it. Misconception number two, I must be baptized to go to heaven. Again, that's wrong. That's bad theology. And let me give you two reasons why that is bad theology. In Luke 23, verse 43, Jesus tells the thief on the cross, he says this, today you will be with me in paradise. Let me tell you what Jesus did not say. Hey, thief, I'm really glad that you love me and you call me a king. But you need to get down off the cross, get yourself into the Jordan River, get baptized, and then get back up there, and then die. And then you can go to heaven. I don't think that's what the scriptures teach us. Trust me, the thief on the cross, who was not baptized, is in paradise. And also in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, God's word says that we are saved. How? We are saved by faith, by grace, through faith, and this is not of yourselves, and not by works, lest no man boast. Well, if that's true, which it is, then baptism would be a work. And then I could boast of that work. And I could say, see, I'm going to heaven because I've been baptized, and I'm sorry, Frank, you're not, because you haven't been baptized. We must remember, there's absolutely nothing any of us can do to contribute to our salvation. It is a gift. It's like Christmas morning. Now that we have those couple misconceptions out of the way, let me just reiterate this. Baptism is an outward sign of an inward conviction. Our scripture text today tells us that about 3,000 people were convicted of the message that day. And their response to that conviction, they said this, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. Baptism means absolutely nothing if it isn't accompanied by repentance. What's repentance? It's a turning away. It's the changing of one's life. Remember, the old creature over here doesn't exist anymore. The old Mike, he's gone, and he's now a new creation in Christ. He's over here. There are many people who get baptized for the wrong reasons. And this is a common occurrence in young people. They were baptized because, one, here's three reasons why, their parents wanted them to get baptized. Or two, they were baptized because their friends were baptized, so they got baptized too. Or the third thing is they did it as a class. There's some establishments that everybody in the class, all these children of this age, come on, we're all going to go on over and get baptized. And none of that is the right reason to get baptized. There are right reasons to get baptized. And I will say this. It is my privilege to be able to baptize the young lady that I'm going to baptize today. So with that, I would like to call this young lady forward. Her name is Elena White. Elena, you and your family, whoever wants to come on forward, would you come on up here? Because I'd like to just talk to you just a little bit. And I am going to just ask you a couple simple questions. And while she's coming on up here, and she's probably a little shy, and that's okay. I would be too if I was 6 years old in front of all these people. Isn't she beautiful? Let me tell you the story. I am very particular, very narrow about who, one, I would allow to join the church, two, who I would baptize. And so a lot of people might be thinking, Mike, she's 6 years old. What does she know? Oh, let me tell you what she knows. I was asked by her family, Mike, would you be interested in baptizing Elena? And I said, under one condition, I get to talk to her first. I want to see where she stands. A six-year-old? Okay, let's... So about a month ago, actually it was our Wednesday night pizza and prayer night. Christina and Elena showed up. And me and this young lady had a real nice conversation back on the swing sets out back. And she was just a-swinging. And I was just sitting there talking and asking her questions. And this young lady said what I would consider one of the most profound things any Christian could respond and say. The question was rather simple. Elena, why do you want to be baptized? And she said this, because Jesus Christ has given me freedom from the bonds of my sins. That was unrehearsed, totally unsolicited, and let me tell you what, she might be six, but there are some 56-year-olds who don't know that. That is one who has professed the faith. Freedom? Six-year-olds don't use the word freedom. She knows two things, that Jesus Christ on the cross has set her free in his resurrection from the grave. And she also knows this, how can a six-year-old sin? I did. Some kids don't sin until they're older. Some kids sin when they're younger. But she knows this. Christ paid the penalty and gave her freedom. Let me talk to us grown-ups. We are no longer, for those of us who are Christians, we are no longer bound by the slavery of sin. We are now bound by the slavery of Christ. We have freedom. We have freedom in Christ. And when I heard her say that word, freedom from the bondage of my sins, that was an adult answer. And I said, I told Mimi, I said, absolutely, I will baptize this young lady because I believe that she knows exactly where she stands. So, Elena, young lady, come on out here. Come on, you're okay. I just want to ask you a couple questions, but I already know these answers, but I want to hear your answers again today. Do you love Jesus? You do, don't you? I don't need to ask any more questions. I know that she does. And this is going to be a good day. So Elena, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go on over there, and I'm going to get into the baptismal and put on my swimming trunks, and I'm not going to let anybody see my skinny legs. And we're going to get over there, and I'm going to baptize you as per what the Bible says. I'm going to baptize you as Jesus says in Matthew 28. I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Because today, do you commit your life in leading it for Jesus Christ? You know what? There's a lot of adults need to shake their head yes. And we brought extra towels. You've never been baptized, and today is your day of salvation. Come on in. The water's nice and warm. And the gift of salvation is free. And this young lady knew enough to say, if you're going to give it away, by golly, I'm going to take it. So you know what? As far as I'm concerned, we might be 57 years difference in age, but she's my sister in Christ. Just as much as she's my sister in Christ. And I know she's a whole lot older than I am. The Ten Commandments, the one online, that doesn't come up for a couple weeks yet. I love you, Cindy. Here's what we're going to do. For the remainder of the service, me and Elena and whoever from the family needs to come on over. We're going to get ready for the baptism. We're going to sing our closing hymn. And after that, we will dismiss into the fellowship hall. I just ask that we give this young lady right here, Rhonda, a chance. Because she has a wheelchair. Give her a chance to get on over there first. And then we will all go on over and we will partake in the meal. I do ask this, that when you get over there to the fellowship hall, that you take a seat first. I know the chicken's going to smell good, but what we're going to do, we'll do the baptism first, and then after that, we'll all partake in a meal and celebrate the event that we just witnessed. So with that, you ready, Elena? Okay, let's go. Greg?